afternoon, and welcome to Remember When. It's all about the people, events that brought us to where we are today, and sponsored by the Maritime Museum. My name is Glenn Parfitt, and I'm filling in this week for Susan Woods. We're actually going to be here for probably about 7 weeks, I've been told. She's currently running for city council in the upcoming election, so we wish her best of luck, and look forward to seeing her back on the show in a few weeks when she's finished her run for office. Today I'm going to be just sort of talking a little bit about why I'm filling in for this period of time for Susan, a little bit about my family history. My grandfather and his brothers came to Victoria in 1889 from Carlingcott, England. Gives you an idea how long we've been here. They're actually on their way to San Francisco, and after coming across on the ships, coming across the Atlantic and then coming across by the train to Vancouver, they were told by a stranger that they should go to this beautiful island called Vancouver Island and go visit a place called Victoria. It was the nicest place in the world to go. So rather than go to San Francisco, they came to Victoria, and sure enough, that's where they stayed. And from there, they started some of the city's first orchestras and choirs. They were musicians who came across, when they came across on the ships and on the train, played their violins and cellos to pay for a part of their passage to make their way. Actually, when I said they were going to San Francisco in 1889, it was the end of the gold rush, so they would have gotten down to San Francisco and not had much left. So I'm certainly glad that they came over here and to the island and been here ever since. Later on, we're going to be talking to a guest that we have in the studio this afternoon. It's he was involved in Victoria's first rock and roll band, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. We'll tell you a little bit later on in the show. Music history is something that I've known for and doing a lot of, and recently we had the Victoria Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame induction celebration on the 21st of September. We're going to be talking about that later on with our guest as well. It's the fourth year that we've been doing it and had some wonderful wonderful people in attendance. It was emceed by CFAX's own Al Farabee. And a wonderful afternoon. We'll be getting into a little bit more of that later on. As well as music, while I'm filling in for Susan these few weeks, we're going to be doing some other history talks. As I mentioned about my family, the Parfitt family, we'll be doing a show on the Thanksgiving Day weekend, and we'll be talking about my family and some of the buildings that they built locally. My guests will be my brothers Dwayne and Daryl Parfitt. My brother Dwayne is the family historian, as it were, and we'll be talking about places like Christchurch Cathedral and Bay Street Armories and the Victoria Information Center and a lot of the old brick and stone buildings that were built by Parfitt Brothers Construction. We'll also be talking about George J. Elementary School. It's 100 years old this year, 100 years since they built that. And one of the things that actually featured was Victoria's first electric cement mixer when they built it. So all sorts of little stories and tidbits. We got a couple of great stories about the Christchurch Cathedral. One involves Sir Winston Churchill, another one that involves a robin. So we'll be talking more about those next week. We also have got another thing that's never been covered, history, and there's quite a history of auto racing in Victoria. And we'll be bringing on Barry Rankin, who's been involved around Western Speedway and auto racing since the mid-50s. And we'll be talking about, of course, the original Willows Park Raceway, and we'll be talking about, Mount Doug Hill Climb, and we'll be talking about Cobble Hill and the quarter mile races up there, just the whole history of racing certainly through the last century, and where Victoria was and where it placed, and we'll even tell you where Plimley Motors was originally located before it was moved to what is now Moxie's in the corner of Yates and Quadra Street. So we've got Yates and Victor rather. So all sorts of things coming up over the next few weeks. Lots to talk about. We're going to be, having different things, topics, and we're going to appreciate if anybody can give us a call and add to our conversations, or we might even have a little bit of a history trivia later on, which I've known for. We've got some prizes courtesy of our friends at the Beacon Drive-In that we're going to give away. 50 years. Beacon Drive-In's been doing business, and they're still at it. They've graciously stepped up, so I'm going to try to give those away and give somebody something to eat, as well as give you a bit of a history lesson here today. We also are looking at a variety of things upcoming in the next year involved with music history and historical events and celebrations that are coming forth. So lots to talk about, lots to go through, and certainly going to be a fun few weeks filling in here for Susan. It's kind of a rainy, dreary day out there, but I think we're going to pick it up with a little bit of music in a few minutes here. It's going to be recorded by our guest who's in the studio today. He was, as I mentioned, Victoria's first rock and roll band, and this is a recording that was done in 1964. And these recordings are so rare that you can't even find them on any Canadian record catalogs or any international world catalogs. Fortunately, we were able to track down some of these things through the Royal City Music Project, which is the website and sort of music history overview of Victoria, and it's at www.rcmpsite.com, RCMP standing for Royal City Music Project. Website's been up since about 2003, and certainly enjoys a lot of traffic, and is just a sort of a great overview of music from the 50s and 60s, 70s in Victoria, and a lot of the culture as well, too. Certainly things you can see on there. You can see videos, example, of Victoria Inner Harbor in 1929, after my grandfather's brothers built the, what is now Visitor Information Bureau. They sat on top with a camera and panned the Inner Harbor, so we've got some great early video footage of the Empress Hotel and all the way up Government Street, and certainly panning over to the Parliament buildings and the old CPR ferries that, of course, would run out of the Inner Harbor. So for those that remember those ships that would go to Vancouver and would also go to Seattle, that was the Princess Marguerite, and sailed out of the Inner Harbor. We've got some old film footage of those. So that is on our website. Of course, there's music history. There's over 5 groups on there. There's getting pretty close to 7,000 pictures of everything from recent reunions to old band shots. We've got bands playing at the Crystal Gardens. We've got bands playing in the Cameron Band Shell. Just all over town in different places around the city. So certainly, if you're interested in music or even some of the old buildings and architecture around, www.rcmpsite.com is the place to go and give you a bit of an overview. Always expanding, always growing. We're going to go to a break here, and if you've got any questions or things for my guest, once I introduce my guest, who I'm going to do after the break, give us a call at 250-386-1161 on your cell or at star 1070. We'll pay the charges. So from 1964, we're going to play this song from Victoria's first rock and roll band. Can you guess who it is?
I'm Susan Woods, your candidate for Victoria City Council. I feel passionate about our city and want to help shape the future for a strong, diversified economy and as a reflection of our character and civic pride. As a progressive-thinking, nonpartisan candidate, I ask for your vote on November 15th, and I'll return your support with hard work and accountable representation. Check out my website for more details about my vision for Victoria. SusanWoodsForVictoria.com. Thank you.
Authorized by the registered agent for Susan Woods.
Hi, it's Murray Lang. We're live on location. 2517 Douglas Lansdowne Appliance. And boy, finding the appliance you need has never been easier. No GST today. Free delivery. Brad Goodyear from Lansdowne Appliance is joining us. Boy, for folks that need a new washing machine, today's the day.
Oh, absolutely. We've got lots of front-load washers to take a look at. Also matching dryers, of course. Whirlpool is the brand that we're recommending. It's the one that we've chosen as the best quality and value for the money.
And it's got such a great reputation. It's got great longevity. Plus, the service aspect at Lansdowne Appliance, too, makes it really easy for folks to get the stuff they need.
Absolutely. Our background is service, so we service everything that we sell. Also, everybody that works at Lansdowne is on non-commissioned down here. So our focus is to make sure that you get the appliances that you're most happiest with. We'll work out the best possible deal for you. Get it there free today. No GST today. So opportunity's been fantastic. But, yeah. Absolutely.
And no surprise why the showroom's full, because it's this easygoing atmosphere that you find here at Lansdowne Appliance, and you like to see people happy, don't you?
Absolutely, yep.
The draw is now officially closed. $5,000 KitchenAid kitchen package that Lansdowne is providing. We want to thank everyone who's come down for a visit. We'll be making that announcement in the next 15 minutes, so stay tuned. But it's not too late to come join us here. 2017 Douglas, at the corner of Douglas and Bay.
Al Farabee and the CFAX 1070 wake-up team.
We help you stay on top of the morning traffic with reports every 10
There's
minutes.
An accident just past Royal Oak in the fast lane. There's about three cars
There's
involved.
There's a traffic accident on the Trans-Canada Highway southbound just before the Helmickan will turn
off. I'm on Sook Road now. I'm just passing Caldwell Corners and the traffic is lined up and it's really heavy.
I'll call you guys because you usually know what's going on.
Al Farabee and the CFAX 1070 wake-up team. Weekday mornings 5 to 8 on CFAX 1070 on Cable FM. At 103.9. This is Victoria's News Authority. This is CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Parfitt sitting in for Susan Woods, and today we're talking about history of music in Victoria, specifically rock and roll music. That we were just listening to was from 1964, Victoria's first rock and roll band, the Pharaohs. And in the studios joining us today, I have one of the founding members, Ron Atfield. Afternoon, Ron.
Hi, Glenn, and hi, listeners out there.
Hey, thanks for coming in today. Appreciate your taking the time to drop out and see us. We just finished having a bit of fun a couple of weeks ago, myself and Ron, at the Victoria Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame fourth anniversary. It was held at Element on September 21st, and some of the inductees this year were Norm Pringle, who was a longtime DJ on radio station CKDA back in the 50s, and also on Czech TV in its earliest days. And it was a great day. He was inducted, actually, or introduced by Red Robinson, who came over for the day to visit and spend the afternoon with Norm, and certainly gave us a great introduction. Had some great stories. So how was it, you were, for Ron, his band, the Pharaohs, were the first inductees in the Victoria Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and now that's 3 years behind you. For you, Ron, what's it like being able to go to these events, even though you're already in the Hall of Fame, and sort of what are you seeing, what are you experiencing, and what's it like for you personally to attend one of these?
Well, I think, Glenn, first of all, it's getting bigger and better every year, and certainly with Red there this year, it brought back a lot of memories. I think the other thing is, you know, it's nice to see the recognition of the achievements of the other bands that came along not that far after us. You know, the Motifs, Gary Lee and the Regents and you know, other bands. And certainly, they are worthy of recognition. So, yeah, it was great to see. And you know, some of the guys came from afar and hadn't seen them in probably 40 years. So, Vince Cownan with the Regents, lived a block away from me growing up, and there he was.
So these
celebrating.
Are, in comparison to, say, like a high school reunion, what are these like for you as an experience?
I've never been to a high school reunion.
Okay, well, that answers that. But I'm sure this must come pretty close to probably some of the best reunions for yourself because of, you know, the common bond of music that you all have.
Oh, without a doubt, Glenn. And you know, it brings people, like you've always said, it brings people together that haven't seen each other and whatever for 30, 40 years. And it's just amazing. You know, some of the guys are still with it and they're still playing. And it's just good to see. And, you know, any animosities have gone down the drain, I think, between, you know, the competition that was out there at one time with some of the bands.
And I think that's probably one of the best points, because following this as long as I have, it seems like through the 60s especially, there was a real plethora of bands starting up, and I think a lot of it certainly had to do with the Beatles and the British Invasion, but there was so much going on, and it almost seemed like they were, you know, sort of like mini gangs, almost, as it were, musical gangs, and you weren't allowed to go see other groups or hang out with other guys if you were in your own group. But certainly I didn't feel any of that or see any of that on Sunday the 21st at the induction celebration. And I think you're right, that's one of the things that is enjoyed, because you spend the afternoon with people that you just haven't had a chance to see or contact with for so many years.
Exactly, Glenn. And you know, way back then, you know, went to see another band, I think the feeling was that you were there to copy or to, you know, pick up. And that was true because, you know, in Victoria when we started, there was no bands. We had to go to Vancouver to watch bands. And basically, you know, we started picking tunes up off Red Robinson's show, and that's how we learned stuff. But actually to see bands live, there was none in Victoria.
Now, certainly we'll preface that with bands, we'll say rock and roll bands, because, of course, we had orchestras and we had choirs and that sort of thing. Certainly the Empress Hotel had, remember, the Bill Tickle Orchestra and ones like that. But certainly anybody playing the rock and roll, the rockabilly, yeah, there was. You were the first.
The only different one from all the Burt Zales and Tickles and the dance bands was Fred Usher, and he was sort of into the Western, sort of Latin theme and whatever else. He was basically the only different band that I can recall, you know, playing the Cameron Band Shell and playing around town.
Yeah, you actually played Fred Usher at the Cameron Band Shell.
Yeah,
there's pictures of it on the website.
That's, yes.
That must have been kind of a neat experience for you in those days. We played some of your recordings that... you know, we just had on before, and in the early days of recording, it must have been kind of raw in comparison to what you face now. Tell us a bit what it was like when you recorded and where you went to actually be able to record.
Yeah, basically, we had done a lot of recording in the early 60s in Norm Windquist's garage. And really today, some of the songs are on the site. And the quality to this day on the reel-to-reels is still exceptionally good, because he was using ribbon microphones then and a German tape recorder. But, you know, we basically set up a studio for a number of months and, you know, sectioned off the drums and tried to get the sound as acoustically good as we could. We wrote the songs. I did all the taping on a Sony 500 four-track, and basically we laid down all the tracks, and then we took a couple to Vancouver, Robin Sturgeon at Vancouver Recording Studio. I think it was down on West 4th there, and laid the vocals on some of them, and later. But yeah, we did a lot. You know, we set up our own company. We published our own songs. We set up our own record label through Les Vogt, who was an agent for Red Robinson's Show of Stars at the time. So, you know, we gave it a good try. We can't say we didn't. And you know, there's no sense of failure, because we did what we could, walking the streets of Vancouver and trying to get them in stores, trying to get airplay, and it was a tough go at that time.
Well, I think what's indicative of that today is the fact that you can't find those records in any catalogs anywhere. And that must have been sort of, you know, a real experience for you doing something. And I guess in your own way, you were very much breaking ground, because nobody from Victoria had sort of taken on this this type of a project or initiative to do this at that point. You were certainly pioneers in that area.
Yeah, not at that time. And then, of course, guys like Middleton came along and other groups came along and did some recordings. But, you know, I did so many live recordings, too, which I still have. And those are priceless, really.
Yeah, no, it's good to have on to those. And you're very, very lucky. I know a lot of musicians over the years who have contacted me after looking at the site and listening to music, I think are just thrilled in a lot of cases because of the fact that work that they did, which they thought had been lost forever or was, you know, never to be remembered or found again, has surfaced, and certainly is a testament to their artistic abilities and as musicians. Hall of Fame, I'll get back to that for a bit. If I could, we had a good time on that afternoon. Another fellow that, a couple of fellows that went in, the Lifetime Achievement Award this year went to Valdemar Horsdal, better known as Valdi, and he He was a character to this day, and I think in the folk music scene in Canada, you know, there's four names. There's Murray, there's Gordon.
Delgard.
Yeah, and then there's Valdi. It's just amazing where he is in Canadian music, and he felt very honored to be honored by his peers, because, of course, it's the members of the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame and musicians who vote in, who goes in every year, and... this year, they voted in Valdi. Another one I want to make a special mention of was Doug Edwards, most influential musician from 1960 to 1965. Doug grew up here in Victoria and played until about 65, went to Vancouver, played with Tom Northcott. He co-wrote David Foster's his song from when he was in Skylark, Wildflower, with Bob Richardson. And also was a member of the Fifth Dimension. I don't know if you knew that or not, Ron. So good tribute to people like Doug, who've spent a lifetime in music, and certainly was nice to have him acknowledged. And he in favor acknowledged what I've been up to with my work and presented the Hall of Fame with one of his guitars from when he played in his earliest bands in the 60s, signed it, and had a little history thing on the back. So that was quite neat, and we'll look forward to seeing that hanging in the Victoria Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame, which is located at Darcy's Pub on War Street, just below the old Harpo's building, for those that remember. Actually, before Harpo's, it was the Wilson Proctor building. So that gives you an idea, some history on that. We're going to ask you, give us a quick sort of overview of a story that you have about when you were working with the Red Robinson Show of Stars, and you were doing shows for Red up and down the island as an opening act, and you got called to do the show with the Ventures up in, I believe it was Ladysmith at Cultural Hall, and something happened with the band getting there. Rob, maybe you could tell us that story.
Well, we had done quite a number of shows for Red, and basically the Ag Hall in Ladysmith was an excellent spot, because it was midway through the island. So you get people from Campbell River and people from Victoria going up. But to do that show with the Ventures, and the story goes that they got detained at the border. And believe me, in all the years I've known Red, I've never seen him sweat so hard as he did that night. And finally, Les came up to us and said, look, it's almost midnight. Play every Venture song that you know. And of course, we had the red jackets, we had the black pants, we had all the Venture songs down to a science, believe me. And they showed up eventually, but only two of them, Don Wilson and Noki Edwards, in short sleeve turquoise shirts. And to this day, I think a lot of people had probably left, and you know, who knows? Maybe they thought we were the Ventures, because, with only two of them showing up, it wasn't a full band. It just wasn't what people were expecting.
Yeah. But still, you were troopers, and you got up there and you played. We're going to go to break here in a sec. If you'd like to have any questions for my guests or stories you want to share, give us a call at 250-386-1161 on your cell at Star 1070, and we'll pay the charges. Going out on our break here, we're going to play a song that you actually recorded, Ron, in 1960. Your drummer at that time was Barry Casson. And this is The Ventures, Walk, Don't Run, The Pharaohs.
Yeah.
Imagine your next event held in an 1889 courtroom at the Maritime Museum. Rent the courtroom, complete with judge's bench, prisoner's dock, and witness stand, for up to 75 people. The reading room with a nautical flair is available for up to 15 people. And the entire museum is available for stand-up receptions, business meetings, lectures, seminars, and small private dinner parties. For information, call 385-4222, extension 102.
Hi, it's Murray Langdon, live on location at Lansdowne Appliance, 2517 Douglas Street. For the past month on CFAX 1070's Newsline PM, we've been taking qualifiers for the great KitchenAid kitchen package giveaway. We've also had in-store entrance as well. Brad Goodyear, talk a little bit about the prize package, $5,000.
Absolutely. These are KitchenAid appliances, for starters, that everybody knows, but it's a 19-cube bottom-mount stainless fridge. Incredible little fridge. It's a convection range, smooth top, all the bells and whistles on that range. Programmable cooking, it's amazing. Dishwasher, same thing. It's a tub, stainless, top-of-the-line dishwasher. Nice and quiet. Whoever's going to win this package is getting a really, really nice kitchen.
And they're also getting it delivered right to their home, house, condo, you name it. Is it time to make the draw?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So our assistant, Jordan Clark, you're going to open the barrel. Brad's going to fish around, and someone's going to be very, very happy after this draw. Yes, we've got tons of entries here, too, from both our qualifiers on air and here, the entrance in the store. And Brad, what have you got for us? The excitement is palpable. You got two. You can only have one. Okay, and Brad, the winner is?
Angelo Rampon.
Angelo Rampon on San Juan Avenue. Congratulations. You have won $5,000 worth of appliances. We are going to make sure they get delivered to your home. It feels good to give, doesn't it, Brad?
Absolutely. Yep.
Congratulations on that.
Congratulations indeed, Angelo. We are still here at Lansdowne Appliance. Come down. It's very, very busy, but we've got lots of helpful people here to make your appliance shopping experience that much more pleasurable. It's corner of Douglas and Bay, 2517 Douglas, Lansdowne Appliance.
Vote. Shape your world. Election Day is October 14th, but you can vote at the advance polls this Friday, Saturday, or Monday. The dates, places, and times are on the back of your voter information card. To vote, you must now prove your identity and address. For more information, visit www.elections.ca or call 1-800-463-6868. On Tuesday, October 14th, vote.
Cutting Edge Talk Radio and Charles Adler for Adler Online. Weeknights 7 till 9 on Victoria's News Authority. CFAX 1070.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Parfitt, sitting in for Susan Woods, and today we're talking about Victoria's history of rock and roll. My guest in the studio today is Ron Atfield. And Ron, that was Harry Creech's band Morning Star from 1960s, I believe, around 1968, doing Woolly Bully, certainly a popular club band in their day. Before we went to break earlier, Ron and I were talking about guitarist Doug Edwards, and Ron, you had a few things you wanted to mention about Doug as well.
Well, one outcome of all of this Hall of Fame and getting together is you sort of get an update on what guys have been doing. And, I had no idea that Doug's done some of the things that he has done. So this, again, is what it's all about, is bringing people together and informing everybody of what's going on in their lives.
Oh, really? Well, it's just, it seems to be working out really well as far as people hooking up. And like you mentioned, for Doug, we all knew about Doug and what he did in Victoria and the influence he had here. But then to see where he went afterwards was quite interesting. So I've got a gentleman on the phone who would like to talk to somebody. He was a Farrell's neighbor for 6 years, and his name is Bob Thompson. And he just wanted to have a little say hello to us on the air here. Are you there, Bob?
Yes, I just wanted to say, Ron, you were our neighbor. We were on St. Matthew Street. You were about three doors away.
Oh, yes, yes.
My name is Thompson. I'm talking about maybe 50, 60 years ago.
That's right, Tom.
My sons were Rob, Monty, and Rick. I don't know whether you knew them or not.
Yeah, no, I do recall you now.
But I do remember you guys in the garage, and I just thought it was great that you'd done so well.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Now, the last time I saw your father, I'd packed my car up, and he was at ICBC. You're still around?
No.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No.
Well, you did very well, Ron.
Well, thank you.
We're proud of you.
Well, that was very interesting. Thanks for calling in, Bob. Wow. Hey, you just never know who's going to come in from your past there, Ron. That's the joys of living and growing up in Victoria. You were born here, weren't you?
No, actually, I was born in Red Deer, but I was smart enough to move out when I was 4 months old.
Good for you. Yeah, it's certainly, you realize what a small city it is growing up here and people that you run into all the time in different places.
I consider myself a native, though, Glenn.
I think after four months of age, you can pretty well hold on to that handle very accurately. At the Hall of Fame this year, on September 21st, we also honored, for for the first time, we had two new categories in the Hall of Fame, Victoria Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame. The two new categories we had this year were blues and country. And this year we celebrated the career of Ron, you did Norm for a few years.
Yeah, I did, Glenn. And I was still in junior high school, and I happened to, it might even have been a government house, I'm not certain, with Norm Winquist and Norm Watson. And there was this guy doing his Merle Haggard and Marty Robinson, you know, so many other impressions. And then, you know, as we progressed in music, I got to know him more and more. And basically, he was with the Midnight Ramblers for a lot of years. And whenever they needed a bass player, they would call. So, you know, that opened my scope a little bit more, and I always loved some of that music. And he later went on to have a very respectful group, Norm Watson and Woodshed, and basically they shared the weeks at the Big Eye Cabaret with us. I was with Wayne Peters and Home Brew at the time, so we basically split the year, and you know, that was a going concern down there, and you know, that shows you the support for country music in Victoria.
Yeah, certainly there has always been that country flavor. I know years ago that when CKDA was the OK Radio Group, and they transferred it into CKXM Country, yep. And that became a real going concern for quite a while. Unfortunately, it didn't last, but at the same time, there's always been this great country scene locally. Stories from the Wee Ponderosa, you got any of those you can share with us? Now, first of all, tell people who don't know where the Wee Ponderosa was and sort of what it was about.
Well, the Wee Ponderosa was owned by Paul Zanet, and of course, I was taking his daughter out back in the late 50s, and he bought this barn, and it was a barn, and he had all his heirlooms in there, all kinds, you know, from the States. You know, it didn't matter what it was that he collected was there. But, you know, the big thing is it was a musician's home away from home. The place was open to us if we wanted to practice, and anybody else, you know. And I remember one night Ronnie Prophet came in there and we rehearsed, and he just stood there in absolute awe at this place and the ambience in this place of all the memorabilia that was in the house there. But, you know, we used to have a number of jam sessions through the years, and it was the same. You know, that was a gathering place for country musicians. And basically, you know, he'd fill the place, and it was just a, you know, come as you are and sit in with who you wish. And some of the best times, really, for country musicians in this town.
Sounds like a really nice, warm vibe the place had for country music.
Unfortunately, it's not there any longer.
Oh, too bad. We've got a caller on the line, B.J. Roberts.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, B.J.
Hey, man. Hey, listen. You're bringing up some pretty heavy memories, man. You know, Normie Watson, you know, what can I say? You know,
we lost him far too soon.
Oh, yeah, way too soon. And then, you know, actually, I was just last week I was talking to Dick Dameron. He's doing well. And there again is another person that came up to Victoria. And yeah. I don't know if you recall when I threw my hand into the country music nightclubs when I opened BJ's Cabaret, which was formerly the Big Eye Cabaret. And we had them packed in there with Elmer Tippy, and, you know, everyone was there. And Darlana Moffat, I really, really miss the camaraderie that we all had. We were there for each other. We were, you know, and we sang for each other. You know, there was no competition.
No.
You know, and you know, I really wish this would come back. I mean, there's only one place now, as far as country music, and it's a jam session, and it's they've got some great people, Tom Goff, and a whole bunch of people that go down to the Esquimalt Legion on Saturday. But, you know, you can be back for free. And, poor Norm Winquist, he's ill, and it just breaks my heart, because the first time I recorded in my entire life was in 1958. I recorded a song that I had written called Four Gray Walls, and I recorded on Derby Street in Norm Winquist's first studio.
In his garage.
In his garage.
Yep.
And this man was probably the best guitar player in Canada, if not in North America. This guy could play rock, jazz, blues, country, opera. He could play everything on a guitar. I was just amazed at watching this man. And he's still with us. He's very ill. And yeah. I just want to send my blessings out to Norm Winquist and his family and to the Watson family and, you know, and to all the boys and that are out there still picking, you know, Big Wayne Peters, just a great talent, a very, very great talent. And I wish that maybe one day we could all get together and just do a couple of, songs and just throw them online and see what people think, right? Just all together do different songs, but just a potpourri of Victoria country artists.
Well, that sounds like a great idea.
That'd be great, but you know, there's no place to do that anymore. And with the Ponderosa gone and, some of the old venues like the 6 Mile on a Thursday night was a home away from home for all the country musicians. And the
exactly.
West Wind, mm-hmm. all the venues have basically disappeared. So where are you going to do it?
Well, yeah, I'd be surprised.
They call a lot of the people in the States who call or whatever of country music. Well, Paul Zanet was the godfather of Victoria's country music.
Well,
and
sure he was.
Him and his wife, and they gave their hearts to us.
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
And they gave no charge, man. You come on in. You want? You can't drive, just grab some place to sleep. Wake in the morning and we'll have bacon and eggs together.
You betcha.
That's what life is about.
Good to hear from you, BJ.
Yeah, BJ, thank you very much for calling in. And BJ, stay on the line a sec because I'm going to give away, at the Beacon Drive-In, courtesy of the Beacon Drive-In. So our producer, Greg, will come on the line here and get your information. And thanks very much for calling. It's good to hear those stories.
Thank you.
Yeah, great country music stories around here. And, of course, as he mentioned, there's still a country jam going on at the Esquimalt Legion every Saturday afternoon with Tom Goff, who is just fabulous. And Norm Winquist, you did a lot of recordings. In fact, the song that we played on the last break was we have recorded in Norm's basement.
Yeah, actually, we had several years, that Walk Don't Run that Barry Casson was drumming on, as you'll notice, it didn't have an electric bass because that was pre-getting the bass.
That's right, you played guitar first.
And basically, it was when I was in Vancouver and doing the search for talent for Red Robinson, I broke a string and one of the fellows, the other band, came out and threw me this guitar. And I said, well, it's only got 4 strings. So I came back to Fairfield. Ordered one.
That's it, just like that. Well, we're going to go take a quick break here. If you got any questions or comments for my guests or stories you want to share, give us a call, 250-386-1161 in your cell or at on your cell at Star 1070. We'll pay the charges, and we'll be right back after a short break.
Set course for the Maritime Museum and discover the fascinating nautical heritage of the North Pacific. Examine the world-famous collection of ship models and extensive displays of maritime art. Journey through the galleries and encounter explorers, fur traders, and ruthless pirates. Find out about birthday parties for all ages and sleepover programs for children. For information, call 385-4222 or visit the website at mmbc.bc.ca.
Hi, it's Murray. Live on location, Lansdowne Appliance, 2517 Douglas. And boy, we've got a very, very excited man, Angelo Rampon, making his way down here. He's the grand prize winner of a big KitchenAid kitchen package. You bet. He takes it home, but he won't have to take it home himself. Free delivery because of the good folks here at Lansdowne Appliance. You know, Joe and Brad and Earl and Bill, the whole Lansdowne team here makes it so easy to get all the appliances that you need. And what better day than today to come on in and take a look at that new fridge, that new stove, the front-loading washing machine. Free delivery, no GST. It's as simple as that. Brand new showroom here, and it is so easy to shop. Folks here are not on commission. They're here to help you. We're at the corner of Douglas and Bay, 2517 Douglas. Come on, see us. Lansdowne Appliance.
Why is Highgate Lodge a great place to call home?
Well, my dad has been in Highgate for almost 5 years. He was one of the original residents. And the thing that we love about Highgate is he's treated with dignity and respect and love them. They're family.
I'm Linda Bishop. I would be delighted to give you a tour of our home. Call 472-0077 to book your personal tour. Highgate Lodge on Cedar Hill Crossroad. Come home to Highgate.
They're our family when we're not here. So that's what we love about Highgate.
Every place.
play, every goal, every heart-stopping moment. Catch every Canuck game live all season on CFAX 1070.
Came into town as a man of renown. Writer songs about freedom and joy. The hall had been rented and I was presented as the kind of a singer that all could enjoy.
Welcome back. I'm Glenn Parfitt sitting in for Susan Woods, and today we're talking about the history of rock and roll and music in Victoria. Phone lines are open at 250-386-1161 if you want to join in on the conversation. That song coming out of the break was Valdi's Rock and Roll Song. Now, that was the original recording, which was done with Norm MacPherson on guitar, and it was produced by Terry Jacks. And that recording is what started off Valdi's career. They had recorded that in Vancouver, and not long afterwards, a record company had signed Valdi and had determined that they were going to slick up that version of it and send him down to Los Angeles and put him in the studio with some session musicians. And, of course, you'll hear the version today still being played on the radio that was done in L.A. But that one was the one that was done in Vancouver, which got it all started. And thank you to Norm MacPherson, Valdi's longtime friend and guitarist, who sent that in to me to share with everyone. I'm in the studio this afternoon with Ron Atfield from the Pharaohs, Victoria's original rock and roll band. We've been talking about the Hall of Fame. We've been talking about country music in town, and certainly some of the different artists and growing up, and just the whole scene of what it was like musically in the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s. Now, Rod, your band started in 1957 and went 1972. So you basically played over three decades of music in town. That's quite an achievement for anybody to hold on to a job, let alone have a band that long. So what do you think was sort of the chemistry that, you know, obviously your brother Ed was part of it, but what was it that sort of kept you going for so long?
Well, the first couple of years, Glenn, wasn't that productive because we didn't retain all the members that we originally, but once we got the format down where we had the same members, I think that's when we started getting tighter and it all started coming together, and you know, the writing and the recording and the jobs, and certainly the jobs came, a lot of the jobs came through the recognition of doing the Show of Stars, and you know, that was probably the best thing that ever happened to us. But I think once we got established as a you know, the same members in the band, it really started to take off. And, you know, I can remember getting up in the morning and doing the paper route and coming home and practicing till we had to go to school. Come home, get your homework done, and practice till you had to go to bed. I mean, that's all Ed and I did was practice.
You guys were, like, absolutely addicted to the style of music.
Well,
like,
the Ventures were mm-hmm. our mentors at that time, too.
You know what's really neat is talking to guys who grew up here in Victoria in the 50s and 60s, and it seems like almost everybody had a paper route. And, of course, in those days, it was the two papers. There was the Times in the afternoon and the Colonist in the morning. What did you deliver?
I had both. I had a Colonist route and a Times route at the same time.
Okay. Well, you're preaching to the choir here, my friend, because I did about the same thing.
I wanted to buy a guitar.
As well. Oh, gosh. And I spent all my paper route money at Ian's Coffee Shop.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, what a great place to go.
The donuts.
And Ian's still with us. Unfortunately, the shop's not open, but yeah, what a great place to go down there for ice cream. I think that was the first place I had ice cream when I was able to walk, because it was a few blocks from my home. So certainly that was a good stuff to remember.
Well, that's a piece of history in Victoria.
And what a gorgeous old building. If they could hopefully someday bring it back to life in one form or another, that would be absolutely awesome. We've got a caller who's on the line, wants to speak with us. His name's David. Hello, David.
Hello, what a great show.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I agree, yes, at Ian's Coffee Shop, I remember. But I was wondering about your guest. I remember probably in the late 70s, I was much younger then, and I used to go to the Old Forge. Whatever happened to the group called the Brothers Forbes?
Well, interesting you should bring that up, because last Sunday, or Sunday, September 21st, at the Victoria Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame, sitting in the front row was John and Larry Forbes with their son Michael.
Really?
And they had a wonderful afternoon with us. If you are online and you go to our website at www.rcmpsite.com, and if you go to the gallery part and go to Hall of Fame 2008, you can see the pictures of John and Larry and their son Michael, and what a great afternoon that they had. And But John
I thought of them often because I thought they're actually quite good and quite popular in Victoria.
They were. John still plays. He's living up in Nanaimo for half the year, and I think he snowbirds down to the States for the other half, but still plays in groups. Of course, for those of you who don't know John's career, he was very influential in all the forces bands, certainly in Victoria, British Columbia, and I think he actually became in charge of the bands right across the country at one point. Certainly a well-read, excellent musician, plays multiple instruments. I think the short list of the instruments that he doesn't play. And John now chooses not to be a director of music or a orchestra director or anything. He just likes to play, and he's having a great time sitting in with some groups in Nanaimo. And Larry still gets called up once in a while. He's over in Vancouver working over there, and of course their son, Larry's son Michael, is the morning show man on one of the local radio stations, so he's still around.
I shouldn't ask. I feel bad. How old do you think they might be?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm thinking, you know, based on what we're doing here with most of my research and the fellows I'm dealing with, you've got to be thinking probably anywhere between 55 and 65.
Okay.
Is going to be your best guesstimate, and I don't ask people their ages unless they offer them up. It was really cool to see them, and for them to be back in the Forge.
Oh, gosh.
Not only in the Forge, which is now called Element in the Strathcona Hotel, with all their friends and a lot of the musicians they played with and grew up with. Also, before they played in the Forge, the group was called the Foundry Brass. And sitting in the front, who went into the Hall of Fame this year, was bass player Valdi. And he was sitting with Rich England, Barry Cass, and Wes Chambers, and all the guys who played together in the Foundry Brass. It was an amazing afternoon.
That must have been amazing.
It was, and everybody had a wonderful time. There'll be video available coming out soon, but certainly all the still pictures are available on the website. And these are the sort of things that we do with the Hall of Fame, is we make sure that these great times and these great memories and things that really help shape Victoria's arts and culture are preserved. And I mean,
it's odd, you know, they're never forgotten. You know, likewise Ian's Coffee Shop.
Exactly. Now, these are, you know, I grew up here, and of course, listening to all these stories when I got in the music business and all the stuff that had never been written down, and I'm very, very honored to be able to have this captured for all the musicians to come and enjoy and for people to really get a sense of life in Victoria in the 60s, in the 50s, even into the 70s, but just sort of the whole culture, the arts, the music, and a better reflection of what the times were really like.
You're a lucky man, and you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much for calling, David. I appreciate
you
sharing those memories with us.
$28.50 an hour.
There you go. Well, thanks for calling in, David.
Have a good day.
You too. Well, all sorts of great memories and stuff of growing up. And we're going to have a lot of fun here over the next few weeks when I'm on the air, because I will be talking about things that were in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, things that we all grew up with, things that people who from here remember. And even if you're not from here, it really gives you a sense of what shaped our city, where our culture came from, how it developed. And certainly some of the people and the characters that were involved. So we're quite happy to give that to everybody to share through the website, through the Hall of Fame celebration that we have every year, and of course through the brick and mortar Hall of Fame that's located at Darcy's Pub, 1127 War Street. It takes a lot to put this kind of stuff on. We've got people that help us out along the way. Certainly people like DL Sound and Lighting, Lazarus Productions, Alpine Transmission and Auto Repair. These are all local companies who acknowledge what we do and the importance of capturing all this, and have stepped up and sponsor a lot of our activities and the website and advertise on them. And this really helps fuel the fire, as it were. God bless the the Royal City Museum and the City Archives for the work that they do in capturing all the different parts of the city. But this was a part of our history that was left uncaptured, unrecorded, just was all going down into the trash can until we started this a few years ago, and it was myself and two local musicians who decided that all these great stories were around and we should actually do something about that and have a place where people can go and recapture it and relive the experience. So now that we do, it's a wonderful place to go, and as you can tell by people calling in, there's some great experiences and a lot of neat stuff to be had. So for someone like you, Ron, who started in the music business in the city and started some of its first bands in the mid-50s, and then all of a sudden you think this whole thing is done and gone and behind you, and about 5 years ago this kid shows up, kid to you, knocks on the door and goes, hey, What was your first impression of all this when it started? You started looking at it.
Well, yeah, I didn't know at first, but pardon me, it didn't take me long, and I guess, like you say, everything happens for a reason. And you know, I had saved, and I'm absolutely amazed at what other people have saved. I've saved pretty much everything, and I guess I was the first one that was interviewed by Glenn and whatever, and I think he was pretty astounded at some of the stuff that I had. You know, like the live tapes off Czech TV House Party and stuff like that. It's priceless. And now, because of his efforts, it'll never die. It's there forever. And with everybody else's stuff, it just brings it all to a point where everybody can enjoy. Like, I never got to see a lot of the bands. I never knew a lot of the guys. And through the website, I have been able to do that. And we've been able to recognize those who are no longer with us. Absolutely great.
And that's certainly part of what we do and how we enjoy it. Well, it's been my pleasure to having you here today, Ron. And I hope people that are listening in will join me next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Remember When. The show was sponsored by the Maritime Museum of British Columbia. And our producer this afternoon is Greg Forsberg. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and have yourself a great day.
The Maritime Museum is now offering programs that can be delivered in the classroom, library, boardroom, or just about anywhere else the class or group meets. It's called Museum Without Walls and features life and work aboard ship, three tales of wind at sea, and immigration on the BC coast. All programs are delivered by museum staff. For information, 854222 extension 106, or email programs@mmbc.bc.ca.
The best investigative shows are here on Joy TV.
So you guys were in real trouble.
It's like all hell breaks loose.
Discover the truth behind crime stories with 48 Hours Mystery.
DNA evidence, blood evidence, nothing.
Then, hard-hitting investigative reports with 60 Minutes.
This is a story about valor.
48 Hours Mystery, Saturdays at 9 p.m., 60 Minutes Sundays at 7 p.m. on Joy TV Channel 7 and 10 p.m. on Joy TV Channel 10 in the Lower Mainland.
A CD copy in MP3 format of this CFAX program is available at a cost of $20, including all taxes. To order, call us at 250-386-1070 during business hours, or order online on our talk show schedule page at cfax1070.com.
Listed for the Giller Prize, David Adams Richards tracks the desperate journey of an eternally lost and orphaned child man in The Lost Highway. Available now in paperback at Bolan Books Hillside Center.
This is CFAX 1070, Victoria's News Authority.
Expecting showers and windy conditions to last throughout the day. Gusts westerly up to 80 kilometers per hour expected today near the Juan de Fuca Strait. Highs of 15 degrees. Right now, downtown Victoria, sitting just over 15 degrees. Good afternoon. I'm Adam Sterling, and this is the CFAX 1070 2 o'clock news update. Saanich North and the Islands MLA Murray Cole was among those on hand today for the grand opening of a $5 million low-income housing development on Salt Spring Island. Murakami Gardens is being billed as the first low-income housing development on the island. The development will be operated by Salt Spring Island Community Services, the province says. The 27 units are funded under the Provincial Homelessness Initiative, which aims to break the cycle of homelessness by integrating support services with housing. An Oak Bay Council candidate is launching her campaign with an open house at the Windsor Park Pavilion today. Michelle Kirby says she expects many of her friends and supporters to attend the open house today in just under 1 hour. She's also encouraging any curious voters to come meet her.